RFID, it's promoted by the folks who like it as a super barcode, like a super version of the UPC code, the bars on the products and such. What it actually is a little transponder, there are different kinds, that picks up a radio signal that's transmitted at it, and it's in its simplest form sends back an ID code that's received at the other end, a unique ID code. And this could be used on products to give you a checkout without having to scan, because you just kind of go by the sensor, and you could read your whole supermarket cart at once, in theory, right?
Wow.
Which sounds kind of neat. Now the problems that have come up is that most of these things don't turn off after you leave the store.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. So you could have a situation where everything you buy and everything you use, and people are talking about having this RFID technology on just about everything, could be tracked later. So you could be walking down the street, and anybody could just be kind of waving a wand, or maybe be 50 feet away. You wouldn't even know it. And keeping track, they know what's in your wallet. There's talk about putting RFID in money. This is very seriously under consideration for the euro, and it could come our way, so you could kind of add up the contents of someone's wallet from a distance. That might be interesting. And, of course, then there's the issue of RFID implants.
Implants.
Which was sort of a science fiction-y thing a few years ago, but isn't anymore. And
well, I know they put them in pets.
Right.
So that you can get your pet back if it's lost. That seems like a benign application of it. But
a laudable purpose, indeed.
Yes, but...
But the same technology, in fact, promoted by the same people who make the pet inserts, is also being promoted for being implanted in people. And while it is possible to look at some of the applications that are being promoted, and these are things like, well, somebody has Alzheimer's disease and they wander off, you want to be able to find them if they don't have any ID, this kind of thing. In reality, what's being looked at here is much broader applications. There have actually been promotions where people are saying, well, this will be great. You get the implant, and then when you go to the store, you can check out by waving your hand. Okay, I guess that's for some people. That might be a good thing, but you can't turn them off, right? So everywhere you go, you're essentially broadcasting, in effect, if there's a transmitter nearby, who you are, your ID for everyone to know. And I think what will probably happen is that we'll find calls for these applications first in people who don't have any choice in the matter, where there won't be arguments about it too loudly, right? You could picture people saying, well, prisoners should have these implanted, whether they like it or not.
That's right.
Registered sex offenders, right? I mean, these are things where you're not going to get a lot of argument from people at large. But that's where it starts. And then pretty soon you got the chips in everyone, and then the world is very much different. Is that a nightmare scenario? Well, it depends on your point of view. It depends on what kind of society you want. Is that kind of thing likely to happen? I think it probably is, unless we take a serious look again at the laws and the personal privacy and how we want to draw the balance between security and privacy.
Well, had there been such a system fully operative, perhaps 911 never would have occurred.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, I'm simply making a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I believe that should happen. I'm just saying if personal identification was universal, then maybe they could not have done what they did. Or maybe, on the other hand, everything can be broken. All codes can be broken, they say. You argue with that a little bit. But everything can be pirated, it seems like.
Not only can you not necessarily trust the mechanism of the identification, and that leads into biometrics too, if you want to talk about that, fingerprints
and
eye scans and things like that.
Sure.
But you have to be able to trust the underlying information. So, for example, if you have, and this goes into things that people are dealing with right now. You know, a lot of the things going on at airports, the whole CAPS-2 system that's going into place now to do a background check on people going to airports, or the trusted traveler cards that they'll be giving out soon to people that meet certain criteria so they don't get as much scrutiny at airports.
Boy, I just went through a hellish experience at an airport going to New York, I'll tell you what. Just managed to walk through and forget one little item, beep, and they will take you in the back, and they will swipe and sniff everything that you have. I mean, it is. Yeah. Flying is just not the joy it once was.
And the worst part of it is that when you have these systems in place that will make it easier for some people to get through security than others.
Yes.
You have basically opened up a giant hole in your security system for what we might call deep cover.
Sure.
Agents.
Sure.
Who live here? They live exemplary lives. They have their credit cards. They qualify for all the benefits. They get the frequent traveler card. They only have to succeed once, because you're dealing with people in some cases who don't care if they come back. And so a trusted traveler card can turn into a trusted terrorist card if this kind of scenario plays out.
Yeah.
And what that tells us is you. Just because you have an ID card from someone, or an implanted chip, or a biometric identification, even assuming you can trust the biometric identification, doesn't mean that the decisions you're going to make about that person, whether they're a good person or a bad person, a trustworthy person or an untrustworthy person, are accurate.
Right.
That it's person right. A, but you don't know if the information you have about person A is
any
good.
That's right. That's right.